I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Made in Abyss Season 1, which we had lightly touched on in the pre-show, that this is technically our 0.5 episode, if you can't really think about it. If you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, along with everything else that we talked about, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. And if you want to help support us through other means, you can also go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com, buy yourself some swanky swag. Also, you can help support us by using the affiliate link that we have in our show notes for Tokyo Treats and use coupon code Featured Anime and get yourself some nice tasty snacks, and it helps support us, helps us grow. And if you want to contact us or anything like that, you go to our website, featuredanimepodcast.com, or you can always join us live at twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast. And now onto the meat and brotatoes. Made in Abyss is 13 episodes long. It came out in July 2017, it ran all the way through September 2017, and a couple producers for it are ATX, Sony, Cygames, just to name a couple. Studio for it is Kinema Citrus. It's based off of a web manga. The genres for it are adventure, drama, fantasy, mystery, sci-fi, gore, survival, and just a whole lot of wonderfulness, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, there was a lot more gore in this one than the movies, I feel like.
There was a, it's not necessarily like there was a whole lot more gore in this one. There was a lot more like filler, I kind of want to say, right? Personally,
I can see that. I mean, in this one, the biggest shock to me was they found not dead bodies, but skeletons in areas that they didn't previously have. And they were like, oh, they're just praying. They're just, you'll find when you try to excavate stuff, you'll find that these things are just laying around and you'll eventually get used to it. And like, they're acting like finding this is just, it is what it is. It happens.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense, but at the same time, it's not what I expected. And I don't know if it was a pleasant not what I expected, but it definitely, as you said before, it filled out a lot of things that I didn't know about. Yeah. And they very clearly in the show stated that she was, the main character was stillborn, born dead. And they went into further detail on the fact that the relic used didn't just preserve it. It essentially, I'm not going to say revived or gave second life. Maybe gave second life. Is that better to
say? I don't know. But what I would honestly say is it definitely revived, brought back to life. But I mean, like, that's kind of like jumping ahead, right? That's jumping like straight to the middle. Towards the end of the series, right? So let's kind of backtrack a little bit here. Let's start from the beginning. Yeah. You know, so like in the movie, the anime starts off kind of roughly the same way, except they go into a little bit more detail and give you kind of a better understanding of the time frame that actually goes on, right? So in the movies, it just seems like, oh, she sees this letter from her mom. And she immediately goes on this journey down the abyss. Whereas in this one, it's not so much that she she actually takes time to really think about it and dwell on it when that happens. You also understand, like, when they say in the movie, oh, I will string, you know, you'll be strung up naked and punished. It's, they mean that quite literally. They mean that literally. Oh, that's what they're going to do. So, you know.
And it's,
it's
interesting. It's surprising.
Yeah. So it is.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah. And, you know, you also gain a better understanding of, like, the kind of the circumstances for the school, right? You kind of, you understand, like, hey, it's not just you're going to do this because we're money hungry. It's like, no, this actually helps us keep going, feed and clothe and everything and take care of you along with everything else. Like, all of this helps go towards that. And that's why you will be punished. But you also, at the exact same time, gain a better understanding of the life that's going on around there. And the fact that she does have like a relationship with everyone in the village or in that town that's popped up around there. You get a little bit more details about it, and they give you a more clear cut verbal confirmation of, like, when letters come up, unless it comes from a white whistle, it's just treated as rumor because they are not, they haven't been trained or gone through the process of being able to handle it being down at those depths. So unless you're a white whistle, it's considered mere rumor.
And it's, yes, that is 100% correct. If, unless someone of, there's really no other equal authority, because even the black whistles, who are considered master raiders, they're not really seen as good as, and I didn't really get any of my questions answered as to how you create or what creates a white whistle. But they're kind of crazy.
They are.
In the series, they're, I'm not going to say like the seven deadly sins. They take on that and they become that. But there's one, the one character that we meet that's like halfway down in level, what, two?
Yeah.
Three? The really strong one.
Two.
Two. She ends up just having this insane strength and vitality. And in the movie, it doesn't really explain why. And at least to me, it wasn't clear in the movie that when she went down, she's the reason why our main character was brought back to the surface. She carried this box on her back. And you're like, okay, that's kind of, I guess you helped. No, she lugged this thing almost solo, like carried it all the way up. And then you find out that in this series, like, her body is mutilated. The reason she's able to hunch over and take weird stances, I guess, because she just looked odd to me, is because she placed in her own body these
artifacts.
I don't know what to call them.
They're artifacts. Yeah, that's all they are.
Maggots, like living.
No, they're artifacts, and so that's what. Yeah, so what those things do is they help increase her strength and vitality, and that's why she's to an excess degree. But also at the exact same time, like I was saying, like during the movie, you'll gain a better understanding, especially a little bit of the white whistles. So like you, Habbo, right? He was talking about like when they finally reached down that point, right? He even talks about it. It's like, yeah, no, those were rumors. Those were just rumors 50 years ago. And you look at her, it's like how long has she been alive then? Right. She doesn't look like she's really aged. And is it because of the artifact? Mm-hmm. Is it because she's stayed down there? And then you also understand, like at the exact same time, it's like no one really will try to live in, especially the fifth layer, unless you're a white whistle or even below that, simply because you reach a new level of crazy at that point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You reach a new level of crazy that's, you need to be, you need to be the toll on your own mental capacity is such that you need it. Otherwise you won't survive. You will go insane voluntarily or involuntarily, whether you embrace it or not. And yeah, it's, the world building around it in the show is it's on another level. Like we saw the movie, obviously. Well, you and I saw it, obviously. And the way that it fills out all of the stuff that kind of left loopholes, I can definitely see how you would say that it felt like filler, but at the same time, it's, I don't know, it feels necessary.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, it does. No, it feels necessary, right? Like in general, so, and this is why I said, you know, some of your questions will be answered in the series, right? A lot of the questions that you have and the understandings and things, some of it will be answered in movie number 3. Some of it will be answered only in the series, right? So going back and being able to revisit it and truly understand like the hardships that they go through, understand like the amount of time that went by rather than it just being a spur of the moment decision really kind of helps add depth to the character, helps you really understand the thought process that they had when they went through this, right? And it also at the exact same time helps you understand like the dangers that are in there for the, that they're kind of dealing with. And it's not just the monsters or the that you see initially, right? Or the fact of the disease that when you're a blue whistle, you get the antidote for it. But like when they're at that one, when they're on the second layer, when they're getting ready to go to where Ozen is, right? In the movie, they didn't like kind of show you anything that says that there's imminent danger there. They didn't show you anything that said, oh, you know, you can get seriously injured or hurt by just going there. You know, they made it seem like, oh, there's this nice little plank walk thing you walk through and then boom, there you are. Not truly, you know, explaining like, no, there are creatures there and you still have to watch out.
Yeah, not just creatures, but like things, apes that just, yeah, I guess creatures is, but I feel like in this one, they also gave you a better understanding of, I feel like they gave you a better understanding of the curse, because the curse doesn't just affect people in the hole. When you come up, it kind of permeates out in case in point, the birthday curse or the birthday, whatever it was.
Yes. Right. Which is what I said, you know, like, cause they kind of alluded to that in the movie, right. At the beginning of the movie. And then we're like two movies in, they didn't revisit it. Right. They didn't explain, oh, this actually still happens. Like in the series, you have one of the characters. It's like, hey, it's your birthday. When it's your birthday, you know, like jokingly, don't look in a mirror. But one of the kids says, oh, when you die, you will die. And then you find out, no, actually that is a thing. Like just that year alone, they've already had 5 deaths because of this. And it's, and they go into more detail. It's like kids who they don't know who their parents are. They're not exactly sure of their birthday or what have you. And there's circumstances around it. But as soon as you left the island, like not even going back to a different area entirely, just got off the island in general, symptoms are gone. Mm-hmm. You are taken care of. You are cured, so to speak. You know?
Was that ever explained on how that happened? Like why?
No.
Just that it did.
Just that it did.
Okay. Because I thought maybe I missed something. I'm glad I didn't, but.
No, yeah, I didn't. They didn't, sadly.
If it was that easy, if it's that easy, why do people just not, you know, go away? Like what if they know they're,
because they don't know. That's the thing. They don't know. Right. We were making that connection. Mm-hmm. You and I were like, hey, Rick, you know, it's like, hey, did you see that? And it's like, yeah, Jack, I totally saw that, bro. That makes 100% sense. Right. Why are they still hanging around there? For them, they don't know. And they even go into the process of saying, like, that's really weird. It's like he was never sick. What's going on? It's like they're not making that connection, right? They're like, he's sick, he has a fever, we have to get him to the medical facility. The only one, the best one that's there is on the ship, and they just took him to that ship, and then poof, he's fine. They're not exactly gonna go through and make that connection.
That makes sense.
It's like,
well, being one that, of the things that I thought was,
I was gonna say, being that it's, you know, third party view, you know, we're like hovering over the shoulder. We're able to make that.
Yeah, we get it all.
Right. Them, not so much.
Yeah. No, it's a benefit of being an observer. Ooh, one of the things, I'm glad the observer part came up because it kick-started another thought. One of the things I was really happy to find out and kind of concerned with, well, actually, you might have a better answer. Is there more than one entrance to the abyss, or is the only entrance?
Well, what do you mean more than one entrance to the abyss?
So,
like, are you saying in different areas of the world?
Of the world.
No.
Yeah.
There is only one.
Hmm. Okay.
That doesn't mean
confused.
That doesn't mean there are different areas in that city that's surrounding that giant hole where you don't have people that are smuggling or going down there illegally to raid it. Right. You have the people that are the true whistle people that are going down there. And that's why they talked about the wharfs, right? He's like, people who, if you're in the wharfs, you're going down there, they're illegal abyss. They're abyss divers, you know, they're illegal divers. They go down there illegally and they built up around it. And it's actually built over the hole, you know, part of the housing and how much it is. It's built over it actually where it's at. And that's how people go in there and illegally steal relics for their country or for profit or what have you, you know? And it's the reason why they want to do that is because the unheard bell, right? They didn't, I don't remember them going into details for it in the movies, but in the series, you understand like how important the unheard bell is and why people who are outside of the area who don't want to have to go through the proper channels of getting it, assuming that it even would be allowed to leave the island, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why they wanted it. It affects time. The unheard bell literally affects time.
It's powerful.
Right.
And the other relic that was brought up by the white whistle, the strong one, I keep forgetting her name.
Ozen?
Ozen, yeah. One of the things I thought was crazy, and it should have been far more widely known, is the box, the relic itself blocks, for the most part, the effects or the negative effects of getting out of the abyss, for the most part. And we find out one more reason why our main character has glasses on. She suffers from extreme headache and migraine when she's not wearing glasses. And that's the result of the curse, because the only thing that wasn't protected was, for some reason, her eyes.
Well, we don't know if that's a result of it or not, right? Because that is when Ozen even talks about it. She's like, it does and it doesn't. Its purpose isn't to do that. However, it just happens to do that, right? And we can make the inference of, right? So like the only one that would have actually killed her technically per se, right, would have been the ascension from the up from the fourth layer, right? When you ascend from the fourth layer, that would be technically the only one. We don't know if where they were at for that layer, right, where they were ascending and at what point she was given birth, right? We're just basing it on the assumption, right? And if she was kept in that box, I want you to think about this, right? If she was kept in the box, it didn't matter if it killed her or not, because if she's in there, she would just immediately be revived.
Mm.
And so that's why they tout it as as it blocks the curse. It's not that it necessarily needs to block it. It will revive you even if you die from it.
But for how long? I think there was kind of touched upon, like, I don't know how long you got. She's had like 5, 6 years, 10 years.
10 years, yes. But we don't know, and no one knows. Well, actually, she's 12 years. She's had 12 years, right? Oh, her mom disappeared 10 years ago, but she was 2 years old when her mom left. Okay. They don't strictly touch on it. They're like, we don't know. Ozen just simply states, I wonder how long you're going to move around. How long are you going to move around for and live? You know,
I was gonna say, not even that you're alive. Just, I wonder how long you're gonna move, because she reanimated food.
Yeah, which was
the food was alive.
You know, it was part of the beast that was still basically there, reanimated it, and died after a couple hours. The other thing is she points out what Riku's doing and what the food did, which is they just immediately moved towards the center of the abyss. It's like they were revived and they can't help but just immediately, even without knowing, just go towards the center of the abyss.
Which gives more credence to the call of the abyss that I talked about before, but maybe not. Maybe not.
No, I was going to say that. I mean, like, unless everyone died and then came back, I mean, like, I don't think he could exactly say that for everyone.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're right.
But you also are told about, like, not in detail, but you're also given the names of the other White Whistles, not just Bondra.
Not all of them, but yeah. Well, so here's where my confusion was when I was asking about if there was more than one entrance, because there are raiders that go down there specifically to kill other raiders in the hopes of taking their spoils. The greed, obviously. That actually happened to her mom. Like, her whole party was wiped out by opposing raiders. And in my mind, the way that I interpreted that potentially incorrectly was there was other entrances and other countries are going in for the same reward, and they're willing to kill for it.
But that's why I told you, but, no, there's no other ones. And it just that just because you're seeing one small section of the island doesn't mean other people aren't going in there, going through the wharfs, illegally diving or anything like that. Like, I already discussed that whole thing with you.
But my question, I was trying to further the question to, do you think that the country is now that we know it's part of a bigger world and it's just one small island, which they also expanded on quite well. Do you think that other countries have sections of this area for them?
On that island,
or they're all basically refugees. Yeah,
on that island, I would say that they're probably all like refugees per se. Okay. Is what I would say.
In a lot of when in the scene where everyone was waiting for the black whistle to come up and have other white whistles or another white whistle in his hand and stuff like that, I noticed a lot of the people there didn't have a whistle at all.
Yeah,
which makes me think that they're not like it's that this place isn't solely for those who want to go. It's
no, they if you want to live there, you can live there and everything like that. But the primary income of it is the people that dive in there for the people that live there and help bring money in. So you will have a self-governing body where they try to make sure take on and police the world, so to speak, to make sure certain artifacts aren't sent out. And they even touch on that, right? They even touch on it. It's like sometimes artifacts just don't even get sent out. Sometimes it's not even televised that an artifact was picked up, right? It's just under lock and key permanently forever.
The dangerous one. Okay. Still ain't like it's the lore behind this could go so deep, and I don't know, it just feels like there's a lot more to find out, so to speak.
Oh yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, dude, 100%, man. I'm going to be honest, man. I only started watching season 2. I got like 2 episodes into it, I think. And then I stopped. It's like, you know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to wait here. I want to revisit everything. And it'd be a great time to revisit everything. And that's when I'm like, hey, you know what, Rick? You know what we should do, bro? We should watch these movies and series.
I'm still real curious what the third movie is going to bring, because there's...
Well, it's about Bondra and Riku.
Black Whistle? No, the White Whistle.
Yeah. I mean, like, you saw him at the end of the episode. They even elaborated more on the movies at the end of the episode, where I'm like, you saw a little bit more of him. But they go into detail, right? Like, so that movie will take place entirely right there with him.
Oh,
it's not going to be focused on him. It's not going to be focused on him. It'll be focused on Riku and them, but it'll take place surrounding him. And it'll be even more gory than before.
Wonderful. Oh, well, we can talk about that later. We can discuss the nightmare fuel we're going to have later, I guess. But
Yeah. You, I mean, that would not be far fetched to say. Like you, when you watch it, you'll be like, what? And then I know you'll be like, we're watching the movie next, obviously.
Oh, not season two?
No, because the movie ends where season two begins, like directly. Like yes. So if you skip the movie and go to season two, you will have no idea how they got there. Like where it starts for them, you'll be like, well, how did they get there? I watched the end of season one. But how did they get there? No, you have to watch the movie to understand anything remotely making sense at the beginning of season two.
Okay. That makes things a little bit easier then.
Yes.
Not much, but definitely easier.
Yeah, no, this is why I kind of wanted to do like a little bit of a recap, watch the series and the movies, and then we'll go ahead and we'll watch the third movie, and then we'll go on to season two after that. Because if we skip the movie, you will have so many questions. And I'll be like, bro, Rick, you should have watched the movie.
I feel like I'm going to have questions anyway.
Okay, let me break it down to you.
Oh, man.
Okay, so I will tell you this. The reason why you want to watch the third movie, even if it doesn't continue on, right? What I had told you during the first two movies, what I'll say again now, is the third movie explains how you get the white whistle.
Okay.
All right? You get an explanation, at least for that.
I think I can get behind that. I'm okay with that.
I will not go in beyond that simply because... It'd just be too much. It'd be too much. It'd start bringing even more questions to head. So I'm gonna let it lie like that. All right. But the second movie, right, really does take place, and you didn't really miss anything from the second movie and the last portion of the series. They did cut out a little bit of the fluff, so you like don't really understand that Riku's actually there, like she understands like what's going on a little bit more than the movie kind of gave her credit for. So Riku is I kept saying Riku, and it's I don't know why I keep saying Riku, it's Riku. Riku really, when she's going through the series, when she's going through everything and she's passed out and you have Midi that's there with her, you understand, like, Midi's actually not, they only don't have that one contact. Like, you see it a couple of times through the series where Midi is making basically contact with Riku.
When she's passed out, right? Like, they're connecting through pain.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to bring it up, but I mean, since you did, it makes it watching it through the movie, it's sad. There's no, it's very sad watching it through the series. It's heartbreaking.
Yes.
And there's no easier way to like, be like, oh yeah, it's no, it's, they go a little bit deeper. They go a little more gruesome, but overall it is just, it shatters your heart because you look at this and you see someone hurting who does not want to hurt. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's pitiful. It's pitiful, and
yep.
There's nothing there's no relief. There's no recourse. There's no help except death.
Yeah.
And it's just sad does not begin to describe it. And unfortunately in this past week, I had to put a dog down, and this made it feel way worse. You know?
Yeah.
So I mean, it just made it feel way worse, and it kind of hits you in the ghibli bits, if you will.
Yeah, right there in the heart.
So
right in the feels.
Yeah, it hits you where it
feels.
Right where it hurts. But I mean, that just shows you it's good writing. If you can relate on some kind of level, it's good writing. So
yeah, no, And that's one of the things that I find really, really great about this is the level of writing, the level of detail, the thought that went into it. It was really great. And the music to boot on top of that, honestly, I enjoyed. The music was great. It was well done. It wasn't out of place. It just felt, it felt like it was meant to be a part of it. So it's not like it was something that they really kind of lacked on.
It definitely helped. Yeah. And yeah, it, they cared. Like, and I know it sounds kind of funny saying it like that, but everything you saw there just screamed attention to detail.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It, you know, I honestly, I mean, I could continue to go on, honestly, to be perfectly frank, but I feel like this is a great spot for us to kind of leave off simply because I mean, like kind of going into it anymore, it's going to kind of do it a disservice. And I feel like everyone should just go out and watch it.
100%. This is one of the shows that it feels good. It feels like you should be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do. All right. So on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
This, for me, the movies I wasn't a huge fan of, but we're not rating the movies here. The series, season one, I got to give this, the music was on point, animation style, great. The back, the not the back feed, but the backstory you got out of it, I got to give it a 9.
Glad to see you and I are on the same page. I also got to give it a solid 9. The only reason why I'm actually not giving it a perfect 10 is simply because I feel like they left too many questions, right? Too many things, you know, unanswered, so to speak, right? Like take going back to the instance with the people dying on their birthday, right? Like they give you a little hint of it, but then they don't give you more information on it. And they give you a little bit more hint about a couple other things, but then they also don't give you enough information on those either. So that would be why I'm giving it a 9.
Yeah. So,
all right. So you have anything else you would like to add for our beach episode, sir?
For a beach episode. I mean, I got to say it with my chest. So, No, I enjoyed it. I look forward to season two, or I look forward to the third movie, I should say. And I think it's going to be good. I feel like it's going to be good.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really, really good. I am eager to hear what you feel about it and how you feel about them white whistles now. After it anyways. So
we'll find out, won't we?
Oh yes, we will. That's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you feel like we did something right, something wrong, too much justice, not enough justice, or anything like that, feel free to let us know. All our contact information is available for you in our show notes. If you also want to, you can join us live at twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast, or you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to bonus content, including an exclusive episode by yours truly, where I talked about what I liked and disliked between the books and the series of How a Realist Rebuilt the Kingdom. If you want to hear that episode or anything else that we do, again, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. And of course, if you want some nice, delicious, tasty treats, feel free to use a featured anime coupon code with Tokyo Treats link for you in the show notes as well. If you use that link and featured anime for the coupon code, you get $5 off your first box, and trust me when I say it is oh so worth it. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick, and we'll see you next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, New friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.